Well, thank you again for all of you who came today. So our reading is from Matthew 15, and you'll notice that 10 and 20 are in parentheses. So I'll be preaching on 21 and 28, but you need to know what happened in 10 to 20 to understand the full depth of what's going on. Now, this is a very heavy lesson. I don't want to sugarcoat this one. This is going to make you think, because it made me think for the entire week, and I'm still standing up here, and I'm still thinking. So our gospel reading comes from chapter 15 of Matthew, 10 through 20, and then 21 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. When the disciples approached and said to him, 'Do you know what the Pharisees took offense when they heard you say that?' He answered, 'Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' Then he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out in the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile.' Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon.' But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' He answered, 'It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed instantly." God, help us to understand this text and its meaning for our lives. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So like I said earlier, my mother-in-law is in the process of moving from her house down here. And I had an assignment, and Mary gave it to me, and I loved every minute of it. So she gave me all this paperwork. She kind of threw it on the table, said, she's sitting over laughing, and she goes, "Go through this. See if there's anything that you really need to keep." So I'm going through this, and what is in there? All these jokes, all these stories. They're wonderful. I'll share some with you over the course of the next several months and years. But one of them stuck out, and because I feel this is a very heavy subject, I thought I'd like to start, like I did last week for those of you that were in the park, with a joke. So, a preacher was making his rounds to his parishioners on a bicycle when he came upon a little boy trying to sell a lawnmower. "How much do you want for the mower?" asked the preacher. "I just want enough money to go out and buy me a bicycle," said the little boy. After a moment of consideration, the preacher asked, "Will you take my bike in trade for it?" The little boy asked if he could try it out first. And after riding the bike around a little while, he said, "Mister, you've got yourself a deal." Preacher took the mower and began to try to crank it. He pulled on the string a few times with no response from the mower. The preacher called the little boy over and said, "I can't get this mower to start." The little boy said, "That's because you have to cuss at it to get it to start." The preacher said, "I am a minister, and I cannot cuss. It has been so long since I have been saved, I do not even remember how to cuss." The little boy looked at him happily and said, "Just keep pulling on that string. It'll come back to you." Thank you, Mary. So the first part of our reading is actually in response to the 9 verses prior that we didn't read. The Pharisees have come to Jerusalem to challenge Jesus about his followers not following the traditions of the elders, washing hands and things of that nature that go into the mouth. But Jesus reverses the tradition, and after his confrontation with the Pharisees, he addresses the crowds because he wants them to look at things in a new way. They have heard the Pharisees and teachers emphasize ritual purity. But Jesus explains that the true beginning of sin is not what goes in the mouth, but what comes out of the heart. Since he has upset the religious elite, Jesus goes to Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile nation, to let things cool down a little bit. Once he gets there, a Canaanite woman comes to him and literally begs him to heal her daughter. How she knows who he is, we have no idea. But his fame is spreading, we can see. Now in the Gospel of Mark, the young mother is from the region of Syrophoenicia. But the writer of Matthew changes her lineage to Canaanite. Why? Is it to emphasize that she is not just a Gentile, but an ancient enemy of the Israelites that does not deserve the time of day from Jesus? We find many references in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 6, Leviticus 18, 3, where Moses is told by God to not be like the Canaanites. Matthew's community is predominantly Jewish, raised in Jewish understanding. For Matthew, Jesus is a new Moses. They would have understood very well how Canaanites would be treated by your average Jewish rabbi. Now, Jesus' reaction is something we have not seen before. He says nothing. I can't recall anywhere else in the Gospels where Jesus appears to express not the slightest bit of empathy or desire to help someone up to now. There are many theories as to why this is. I found 5 in the commentaries I consult. The one I find most believable comes from a commentary by Klosterman and Branscombe. They suggest Jesus is asked to give foreigners that which he is prevented from bestowing on his own people. And this is Jesus' first immediate response, to say nothing. On this theory, the story represents a new stage in Jesus' view of his own mission. The situation with which he is faced leads him to act on the principle that God shows no partiality. It comes from Acts 10:34. The Canaanite mother persists to the point that the disciples finally come up and beg Jesus to send her away. Very reminiscent of when the widow goes to the judge in Luke 18:2 through 5. It reads, "He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'" Professor James Boyce gives an excellent summary of how Matthew pits the insider disciples against the outsider Canaanite woman. Stretch your imaginations to entertain this scene. Gathered in one corner are those familiar disciples. For Matthew, the true blue representatives of the faithful lost sheep of Israel. Now, leaping into that fray, like so many ravenous beasts, as it were self-styled guarantors of the holy tradition, on their guard lest the mercies of God be wasted on the unworthy. Like a gang of watchdogs at the door, they are about the checking of IDs and keeping out the non-pedigreed riffraff. Remember, he said the crumb that we should give to the children, not to the dogs. On the other side of the gate stands this outsider, a woman no less, one lone representative of dogs of religion, now become, as it were, a lost sheep, plaintively pleading for the mercy of the master shepherd. No English translation can capture Matthew's careful orchestration of the painful choral refrain. Lord have mercy, which is the dog's solo bleeding cry, the mother, get rid of her, the lost sheep chorus, the disciples, that they bark back in reply. So the stage is set, and the mother finally bows down before Jesus and begs for her daughter's healing. And the exchange between them shows the true meaning of persistent faith. Jesus praises her faith because she understands what Israel does not, that Jesus is not just a hope for Israel, but for the whole world. Now, let's bring that lesson and into our century. So when I joined the Navy, my dad and stepmother decided to go back to church. Don't know why they didn't do what I was here, but hey, whatever. So they went back to two churches in the Eau Claire area, and in both cases, not one person talked to them. So, not being happy with those churches, they went to another church, and that church has welcomed them and been loving to them since 1988. They haven't come back to any other churches. So, I would like to say that this is an unusual story, that it doesn't happen very often. Unfortunately, I have heard from other people and other clergy, this is more the norm than the exception. Instead of merely talking about good news this morning, I want to challenge your beliefs a bit and have you think. I want you to look at your heart. Looking at the persistent fate of the Canaanite mother and what she had to put herself through to have Jesus help her. Do you think she was comfortable or uncomfortable to come out and do what she did for the healing of her daughter? How do you think people feel when they come to our church initially? Are they walking out on faith to just walk through our doors? Why are they walking in our doors? Are they broken, searching for a place to welcome them? Now, we have been very blessed that we have recently had some new members come to our church and join because of the love that we as Jesus' church showed them. But what if our next set of people through the door are of a different nationality, say Mexican or African descent? Would we be as loving then? What if they have a body full of body art, otherwise known as tattoos? Maybe a gay or a transgendered individual. And how would we even know at first sight? But would we be as willing to show them the love that Jesus shows this Canaanite mother? Now, when you asked me to come and be your commissioned ruling elder, it was very clear that you hoped that I could help encourage people to come back to church. And I knew that from the get-go. I look for every possible way that I can do that, which is why I have been so busy this summer. But when I invite people, I tell them about the love that all of you show. But I do not do like the disciples and attempt to check their IDs. Everyone I meet is welcome in God's kingdom. So that means that everyone I see is welcome to come through our front doors or our back doors. A few more questions for you to consider. Do you feel welcome at this church? What makes you feel welcome? Is there anything that has made you feel unwelcome? What do you love most about being here? And would you be willing to share your experiences here at church with your friends out in the community? I have posed a lot of questions this morning for you to think about. If any of you want to share your answers with me, my door is always open. Jesus shows us here with these 8 verses that there was no one in the first century that was excluded from the love of God, which means that today there is still no one that is excluded from the love of God, irrelevant of their color, class, gender, political beliefs, or any other social status that makes people feel like the other. Jesus shows us that all are welcome in God's kingdom, and we as Jesus' church are on the front lines of showing everyone that type of love, welcome, and compassion. Remember, Acts 10:34, God shows no partiality. Amen.